Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
The way God deals with His people in the days of Malachi is very instructive to we who are the New Testament people of God in the 21st century, more than 2,500 years later. It's a huge gap time-wise, but what God says through the prophet Malachi to the people of that day is very, very relevant to us today. You may recall that first of all, God said, I have loved you, and they say, we don't see it. Where's the evidence of it? And God lays out just some of the evidence, of which there's so much you wouldn't be able to describe it all, to list it all, to inventory all the evidences of God's love to them. But somehow they just can't see it. And then God charges them with failing to honor and reverence Him. And they say, where's the evidence for that? We're not conscious of doing anything like that. Why, we're doing the things that you told us to do. We're carrying out the worship that you prescribed for us. And God says, well, how about these lame and blind and sick animals that you bring for sacrifice upon the altar? There's evidence of your lack of respect for me that not only violates my word given in the books of Moses, Leviticus and Deuteronomy to be specific, but it is blatant dishonor. You wouldn't offer defective animals like that to your governor. You wouldn't bring them to him as a present, but you'll bring them to my altar and sacrifice them and pat yourself on the back and say that you are carrying out worship of God, that you are being obedient in your worship. How can you be so blind? How can you be so foolish? But I wonder how many times we do very similar things in our day. And we need to think about this before we get back into the study of the second complaint of God against Israel in Malachi chapter 1. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, September 17, and many thanks to those whose gifts keep us paying the bills so that we can continue teaching God's Word on this and other stations. Well, God declares His love for His people and His Word, but how many times God's people complain to God that if you really loved me, you wouldn't allow me to get sick. If you really loved me, you wouldn't allow me to have financial difficulties. If you really loved me, you would let me have the person that I want for my mate or my boyfriend or my girlfriend. If you really loved me, you would smooth my path and remove these obstacles and make my life easier and make me healthy and wealthy if you really loved me. I don't think you really love me. And just like the people of Malachi's day, we are looking at the wrong things. God has not only declared, but proven, demonstrated His love to His people in so many ways. How can we fail to recognize it? How can we fail to appreciate it? But we can, just like the people of Malachi's day. And then God says, your worship of me is very poor. It's very defective. It doesn't honor me. It doesn't reverence me. And we say, what are you talking about, God? Why, we're worshiping you regularly. we're going to church, and we're worshiping you. And God says, oh, the things you are doing that you call worship, they don't show me honor. I know I have to be careful here, and I really do, but I continually see photos in the news and on the internet and so forth of people who are carrying out important responsibilities, conducting seminars, conducting government business and so forth, and inevitably they are dressed, what should I say? That they're dressed in a way that communicates the importance of what they're doing. They're dressed in a business-like way. We are carrying out important business for the government. We are carrying out important business for the company that we represent. And yet we think it's pleasing to God for us to go to the place of worship in the most, not only the most casual, but in some cases the most slovenly forms of dress. Now, I know, I've got to be careful. The Bible does not prescribe any particular form of dress. I know that. The Bible doesn't say that to honor God in your worship, you have to wear a suit and tie. I know that. I know that. In fact, when the Bible talks about dress in public worship in the book of James, it tells us to be careful that we don't evaluate people on the basis of their dress, that we don't treat the well-dressed people one way and the poorly dressed people another way, that that's a sin against God. But we also have to explore, at least, the attitudes of our heart that say, if I were going to a wedding, I would dress more appropriately. I would wear attire that indicated that this is an important event, and I will dress in a way that I honor the bride and the groom. Now, again, I know not all weddings are that way. Some people request that their weddings be very informal, and if they do, then honor their request. That's their request. But if you were going to meet with a high-ranking government official, I don't think you'd go in shorts and flip-flops. You would know instinctively that that would be a mistake, that doing that would communicate some kind of disrespect, lack of honor, lack of taking this seriously. And if you want to make a good impression, you want to receive from this important person some favorable response, some benefit, you're going to dress accordingly. And likewise, if you have a job in mind that you would like to keep or like to acquire, a job, maybe you're applying for a job you would like to fill, you'd like somebody to hire you for, normally you understand that if you want to be favorably considered, you ought to dress a certain way. You really ought to stand out among other applicants. Certainly you don't want to be the sloppiest looking applicant that shows up for this job. You understand that there are certain dress standards in any culture, any place, regardless of what the particulars are, that indicate seriousness and the importance of this responsibility, and that represent that indicate that you are a good representative or wanting to be a good representative of the company that you want to hire you. And yet when it comes to worshiping God, you act like for God any old thing is good enough. It sounds an awful lot like what I'm reading here in Malachi chapter 1. In what way have we despised your name? Answer, you offer defiled food on my altar, and you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? He's saying, you would not bring a defective animal as a gift to your governor. Why would you bring it to God? You see, it's the heart attitude we're talking about here. You wouldn't dress in flip-flops and shorts and flip-flops if you had an appointment with the governor. Why do you think that's an acceptable way to come to worship God? I know I've gotten into deep doo-doo here, and I've gotten into a big subject, and I know there are a lot of considerations to take into account here, and I know this isn't the final word, but I'm just saying that we've got to be careful. I'm not prescribing any certain kind of dress, but I'm just saying we've got to be careful. We've got to examine our hearts. We've got to take seriously these indictments that God has against his people in Malachi's day. We've got to recognize that these same defective attitudes can very easily creep into our thinking without our even realizing it. And it often does when it happens as a movement. You know, most people wouldn't dress in a sloppy way if they were the only one dressed that way. So many times, what is it? You're invited to something, and what is the first thing you want to know? What are we expected to wear? What is the proper attire for this? I want to wear what everybody else is wearing. I want to wear what is expected. It's almost amusing sometimes to see the extent the people will go to inquire and make sure that they are not improperly dressed, that they are not thought by others to be improperly dressed. Why, that would be embarrassing. That would be terrible for other people to think that I was improperly dressed for this occasion. So I will make careful inquiry to make sure that I am dressed as well as everybody else, that I am dressed in the way that is expected. So how do we come to this place where such exceedingly casual and, yes, even sloppy dress has become perfectly acceptable for the public worship of God? Only because of a herd mentality, when little by little the standard is dropped across the board. Everybody's doing it. That makes it okay. That makes it acceptable. It's not really any thought to how do I communicate reverence and respect for God in the way that I attend public worship, in the way that I dress, and dress is just one aspect. The main thought seems to be what will other people think of me. How do I present myself in a way that is acceptable to others? And frankly, to overdress would be ill thought of by some people. So I can't dare do that. The question doesn't really seem to be what honors God. How do I give him honor? The question seems to be, what will other people think of this? Not what will God think of this, but what will other people think of this? You know, we may not be so far away from the defective attitudes of God's people in the book of Malachi as we think we are. We need to give this some soul searching. May God help us too. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.